Did you know that for the Christian, silence is not an option? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Remember this about those who don't want to hear the gospel. They will seek to silence the preaching of the gospel. Shut up about Jesus. The world is saying that to us today. Our country is starting to say that to us today. You keep your faith inside the walls. Don't go out and preach that, because we will shut you down. You see, the gospel is upsetting news for unrepentant sinners.
Believers are called to stand up for Jesus. And as we're seeing in our nation today, it's getting more and more unpopular to take a biblical stand on truth. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, with part two of the lesson entitled, Silence is Not an Option, from his seven message series, The Truth in Love. And in this lost and dying world, as Christians, will we speak up for the things that really matter, or will we shut up? The entire series is available on CDs, DVDs, an MP3 download, or a USB flash drive, or your gift of any amount this month to the ministry. You can find out more when you go to fromhisheart.org, or I'll tell you more later. Now, though, open your Bible to Acts chapter 4. Here again is Pastor Jeff Shreve. Listen carefully, because silence is not an option.
Now, I want you to notice with me three discoveries about presenting the gospel and being the witness that Christ has called us to be. Number one, the presentation of the gospel is always hard on sin. And when Peter preached the first sermon in Acts chapter 2, man, he preached and told the people in Acts 2:36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. That's pretty heavy to tell somebody, your listeners, you crucified the Messiah. Acts chapter 3, he says to the people as he preaches the sermon in the backdrop of this man being healed, he says in verses 14 and 15, but you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, but put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead, a fact to which we are witnesses. Man, that's serious stuff. Not only did you reject Jesus, God's Messiah, but you chose a murderer, Barabbas, instead of God's Messiah. And you weren't pleased with just to reject God's Messiah and choose Barabbas over Jesus, but you crucified God's Son, God's Messiah. And so the presentation of the gospel, always hard on sin. Second discovery, the presentation of the gospel will always get a reaction. If you present the message that your hearers are sinners and they can't save themselves, and there's only one Savior, Jesus. And if you receive Christ as Savior and Lord, you're saved. And if you reject Christ as Savior and Lord, you're lost forever. You preach that kind of message, people don't like it. You know why? Because it's narrow. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. The gospel makes it clear that Jesus is the only Savior. There is salvation in no one else. There's no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. You know, the Pew Research Center, they do lots of studies and surveys and things. They did one recently. And among self-identified Christians, 65% of those self-identified Christians said that a person can get to heaven another way outside of Jesus. Where's the truth? Where's the guardrail? We've knocked this down and we said, we're gonna come up with our own opinion about things. That's how I feel. Personal truth, subjective truth. Well, I think it should be like that. Well, you don't set the rules and you don't put up the guardrail. The Lord does. And he says there's one way alone, and that is through him. So the gospel makes it clear that Jesus is the only Savior. That's going to create an issue with people. See, and it is good news. Now, if you present that you're a sinner, man's a sinner and in need of a Savior, can't save himself, and Jesus is the one and only Savior, and if you put your faith and trust in Jesus because he died on the cross for your sins and rose again on the third day, you put your faith and trust in him, you'll be saved. Now, that is good news to repentant sinners. Good news. I mean, can there be any better news? And see, this is how the good news works, because that's what the word gospel means. Good news, good story. And so it's good news because it first starts out bad news. You're a sinner. It hits you straight on that you're a sinner. But then it tells you even worse news. Not only you're a sinner, there's nothing you can do to save yourself. So bad news got to worse news. But now here's the good news. Jesus is the Savior. He's the one and only Savior. And if you put your faith and trust in him, you'll be saved. So bad news, worse news, good news. And the greatest news is when I receive Christ as Savior and Lord, he comes into my life through the person of the Holy Spirit, and he changes me from the inside out. And he gives me peace, and he gives me purpose, and he gives me joy, and he gives me power to live the Christian life. And when all is said and done, and when my life is over, he takes me to heaven to live forever with him. And a person who says, man, I need that. I turn from sin. I turn to Jesus. He gets all of that. And so repentant sinners love the gospel. It makes a huge difference, an eternal difference in their lives. And it is the great good news. But now, the gospel for unrepentant sinners is upsetting news. It says in verses 1 and 2, and as they were speaking, Peter and John, to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed, because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. You need to remember this. The guys, the religious leaders who were over the temple were Sadducees and priests. The priests were part of the Sadducees. The Pharisees and Sadducees, two big religious groups in Israel. The Pharisees they would study the law and study the Old Testament. The Sadducees, they only took the first five books of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch. Penta means five, tuch means book. Five books. They were just the law of Moses. And they didn't believe in angels, and they didn't believe in spirits, and they didn't believe in the resurrection. And so here you have these guys, and they're coming in, and they say of them, these guys are uneducated and untrained men. Uneducated means they don't have letters. They're unlettered. They didn't go to school. They don't have a sheepskin on the wall. They didn't go to rabbi school. They weren't trained with Gamaliel like Paul was. They're unlettered guys. They didn't go to our schools. And they're untrained guys. The Greek word for untrained in chapter 4, verse 13 is this, idiotes, from which we get the word idiot. Not very nice. Now, it didn't quite mean then what it means today. It means these guys are common guys. They're not part of us. They're not part of our group. They're not rabbis. They're fishermen. Peter and James and John have a fishing business. They're just regular people. They're uneducated and untrained men. Hey, the Sadducees and the chief priests, they didn't like what was going on the Temple Mount. That's their area. Nobody checked with them before these guys started preaching. And hey, where are your credentials? You're uneducated. You're untrained. We don't like you, the messenger, and we hate the message because you're preaching Jesus. Well, we've already told the people Jesus was a false Messiah. That's why we crucified him. He was guilty of blasphemy because he, being a man, claimed to be God. And now you're saying he's risen from the dead. Well, we don't believe in resurrection. We've been telling the people for years there is no resurrection. And so you're telling them that Jesus, not only is he raised from the dead, but he is Lord and Christ. He's the Messiah. And that means that we crucified the Messiah. They figure that out pretty quick. That's what they're putting on them. And so it's upsetting news to them. They were greatly disturbed. That word, to be greatly disturbed, means troubled, displeased, offended, pained, worked up. They were pretty mad. And so what did they do? It's getting to be late. It's about 5 o'clock now. And so they arrest them and put them in jail and said, we're going to talk to them tomorrow. And when they have the opportunity, then Peter preaches a strong message to them, and it makes them even more upset. Remember this about those who don't want to hear the gospel. They will seek to silence the preaching of the gospel or stop the preaching of the gospel. First, the first opportunity is don't speak anymore in this name. And if that doesn't work, then we're going to beat you to get you to stop speaking in this name. And if that doesn't work, we are going to persecute you. We are going to kill you. We're going to do whatever we need to do to stop this preaching in the name. I like what it says in chapter 4, verse 14. It says, and seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say in reply. But when they had ordered them to go aside out of the council, they began to confer with one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? For the fact that a noteworthy miracle has taken place through them is apparent to all who live in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Here's the question. Why do you want to deny it? It's obvious that a miracle took place. We cannot deny it. You know, they couldn't deny the miracles that Jesus did. And they had to explain to the people, how does this guy that we've condemned do miracles? We've said he's a false prophet, but what kind of false prophets can do these kind of miracles? And they said, he casts out demons by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. And Jesus said, well, that's just stupid. That's a paraphrase. He didn't quite say it like that. But he basically said, well, that doesn't even make sense. Does Satan cast out Satan? That's dumb. A house divided cannot stand. And so these guys are saying, what are we going to say about the miracle? Verse 17, but in order that it might not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to any man in this name. And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard. And when they had threatened them further, they let them go, finding no basis on which they might punish them on account of the people, because they were all glorifying God for what had happened. For the man was more than 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. Shut up about Jesus. The world is saying that to us today. Our country is starting to say that to us today. You keep your faith inside the walls. Don't go out and preach that, because we will shut you down. If you put things, I've tried to put things on social media, on the From His Heart Facebook page, and they say, we won't put that out there. You can't put that out there. They just silence it. No, we're not gonna send that out. That's hate speech, that's inflammatory. Things about abortion and stuff like that. No, you can't say that. That's what they tried to do with Peter and John. Don't speak anymore in this name. And if you do, we're gonna come after you. They threatened them. You see, the gospel is upsetting news for unrepentant sinners. And discovery number 3, the presentation of the gospel needs spirit-filled boldness. It says, after Peter got through with his sermon and called those guys out in verse 13, they observed the confidence of Peter and John, the boldness of Peter and John. That's what that word confidence means, boldness, frankness, bluntness. And they understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, and they were marveling and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. Those are Jesus' disciples. They had spirit-filled boldness. It says in verse 8, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he was bold. We need that today. We desperately need that today. And if you're honest, maybe you'd say, you know, man, I struggle with boldness. I struggle with standing up. I just get nervous. I don't know what to say. And I hear people saying things, and I just think, maybe I'd better back off. But we can't keep backing off. We got to start stepping up and saying, hey, here's the way it is. You may not like it, but God sets up the rules. And this is the truth, and this is the grace, and grace and truth work together. And if you want to have a relationship with Jesus, you can have a relationship with Jesus. But if you don't, You are not going to win because God is God. And you are the creature, not the creator. So if the need is spirit-filled boldness, notice some things. First of all, we can submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit, just like Peter did. We can be filled with the Spirit too. And we can trust the Lord to use us in the way that he used them. To be filled with the Spirit just means that the Spirit is in control. And so here's the other thing to remember. When Peter is speaking, he's filled with the Spirit. This is what the Spirit does. The Spirit calls people out. He convicts of sin and righteousness and judgment. And if you're going to be in tune, if the church is going to be in tune with the Holy Spirit, then we're going to speak to people about sin and righteousness and judgment. We can't convict hearts. That's what the Holy Spirit does. But we're going to be in line with that. Hey, the pastor is called to preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. Do three things. Well, we preach the word and we reprove, rebuke, exhort. Two of those three aren't very nice because you're going to get reproved and you're going to get rebuked before you get encouraged. And you say, well, yeah, I just like the encouragement part. Well, I do too, but listen, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. For teaching, it tells you what's right. For reproof, it tells you what's not right. For correction, it tells you how to get right. For training in righteousness, it tells you how to stay right. And that's why I need to come to church and you need to come to church, because we hear the word and we grow in the word, and the word lets us know, hey, you're getting off over here. You're starting to get resentful. You're starting to get jealous. You're starting to get envious. You need to come back to the truth and you need to get your life in line with God. We can submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit, and we can make the decision, secondly, to stand up for Jesus. We can make the decision right now. I'm going to stand up and be counted. I'm not going to shut up. I'm going to stand up. And if the world doesn't like it, well, tough. I'm not here to serve the world per se. I'm here to serve the Lord. And so, listen, Enoch had a testimony that he pleased God. And when we please God, it doesn't matter whom we displease. But if we displease God, it doesn't matter whom we please. And so many guys are so worried about being men pleasers, and they're not so concerned about being a God pleaser. I want to be a God pleaser. And if the world hates me for it, as long as he's saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant, I'm on the right track. So we can make the decision to stand up for Jesus. And then lastly, we can pray for boldness and strength, boldness and power. They left the Sanhedrin, and they went and had a prayer meeting. They said in verse 29, and now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, with all boldness, while you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. That's the prayer God longs to answer. When people say, Lord, I want you to make me bold so that I can speak to a lost and dying world, so that I can talk to my family, so that I can talk to the people at school, so that I can talk to the people at my work, so I can talk to the people in the community, so I can shine for sure, but so I can share too and open my mouth and tell what great things the Lord has done for me and tell about the cross and tell about the empty tomb and tell about the salvation that is found only in Jesus, and there is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Boldness to share in these last days. Martin Niemöller was a Lutheran pastor in Germany when Hitler came to power. Martin Niemöller was a great patriot. He loved Germany. He served in World War I. He was a U-boat captain in World War I. He was very well respected. After the war, he became a pastor. His father was a pastor. He became a pastor. When Hitler rose to power, Martin Niemöller was originally on the Hitler bus. He was on the train. He was saying, yeah, that's right. He's going to help Germany. But then the light came on. He saw Hitler's true colors. And Martin Niemöller began to speak out against Hitler. Other pastors were afraid to speak out against Hitler. Just a small group, Dietrich Bonhoeffer and some others, were with Martin Niemöller to speak out against Hitler. Well, because he was speaking out, he was at a very prominent church in Berlin. Hitler didn't like it at all, and he had him arrested. And they brought him before the magistrate. And the judge, who knew who Martin Niemöller was surprised because he was such a patriot. Why are you speaking bad about Adolf Hitler? He said, Hitler is our Führer, our leader, to whom unquestioned obedience is owed. And the magistrate pleaded with Martin Niemöller to end his attacks upon the Nazi regime and upon the Führer. And he said, if you'll do that, we'll let you go. End your attacks on the Führer. And Martin Niemöller looked at him and said, God is my Führer. God is my Führer. Well, they put him in jail. And he is there in jail. And another Lutheran pastor comes the next morning visiting the prisoners. And he sees Martin Niemöller behind bars. And he says to him, brother, what in the world? Why are you here in jail? Why are you in this place? And Niemöller said to him, given the situation in our country, the real question is this, why aren't you in here with me? Stand up. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross.
An old familiar song and a truth that never dies. Well, these have certainly been thought-provoking and stirring insights for us today on From His Heart with a message, silence is not an option. You heard part two of this lesson today from Pastor Jeff's seven-message series, The Truth in Love. Pastor Jeff prepared this series because, as we all know, truth is under serious attack today. Our society has rejected God and objective truth in favor of personal opinions or preferences. And this brings devastating results. So how do you and I live faithfully for Jesus and share his truth in love in an increasingly wicked world? Well, one of the ways is by studying his word and being inspired to live for Jesus in these changing times. This month, this current and life-changing series, The Truth in Love, will inspire you to live it and to share it. Some of the other messages in this exciting series are called Growing Strong, What is Happening to Our World, Hating the Love, Boy Meets Girl, When to Draw the Line, and When You Blow Past the Guardrail. It's also our gift of thanks for your support to From His Heart this month, this entire seven-message series available on DVDs, CDs, on a USB flash drive, or as an immediate MP3 download, your choice. Just make your gift when you call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org and request the series, The Truth in Love. We also hope that when you visit our website, you'll sign up for Pastor Jeff's weekly Real Hope email encouragement letter. It'll show up every Friday morning in your inbox. Plus, if you're on Facebook, you'll want to become a friend of the ministry and receive Pastor Jeff's comments, commentary, and encouragement throughout the week. And online, you can download a free MP3 of today's broadcast or sign up to receive the daily podcast of these programs. The web address again, fromhisheart.org. Thank you for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, inviting you to return next time when Pastor Jeff continues examining the critical importance of sharing God's truth in an uncompromising yet compassionate way, no matter the circumstances. That's next time, here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. find out more, go to fromhisheart.org.